But but yeah, so thank you, Lord. Hey, why don't you just move around or stand up and just lay your hand on somebody? You know what I mean? A lot of times, just having your body like active like keeps you engaged or something. You know, your spirit will be expressing things. Woo, 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 woo. Just say thank you, Lord, for life. Thank you for energy. Thank you for health. Thank you for a healthy body. Yeah, 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 yeah. I just thank you for any, there's no such thing as lethargy. There's no such thing as discouragement. There's no such thing as depression. Ha, 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 ha. There's no such thing as limitations on our physical body. Yeah, 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 yeah. Come on, come on, come on. Yeah. Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Shaka. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, yeah. All right. Yeah, yeah. Just whatever. I just love a free atmosphere, you know. It's one thing to hear a good message, but it's another thing to, like, have just be in an atmosphere and live in an atmosphere of openness, an atmosphere where you feel free to be yourself, you know. If you don't feel free to be yourself, then that's not the anointing, you know. That's not the glory if you don't feel free to literally, like, just get up, move around, say something when you want to say something, move, go to the restroom, go walk, do whatever, you know what I mean? So, shaka. Just love to release that. Hallelujah. Woo, 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 woo. Well, we do want to receive an offering here tonight. If you want to sow into the Firehouse Projects, you believe in what's going on here, or if you're watching online, you can give at thefirehouseprojects.com. But we do have all kinds of ministry things going on. We are just announced we're doing a trip to Nepal again this November. You can ask for more details about that. That's on the website now, and been putting stuff up about Facebook. But Katie and I do this full time, and actually, the ministry, the building, has a significant amount of bills we need to get paid. And realistically, I'll just let you all know, this could be one of the last meetings we have here in the building. I'm just open to whatever God wants to do. Some of you know that, like, you know, we've been behind on some of the rent and whatnot here. But the ministry goes on, and we'll continue to talk about, you know, how that change might happen. We need about $5,000 to keep the building going. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm not really worried about it. I don't know if you could tell. But, you know, because you guys are the Firehouse. I don't know if you know that. You know, we had the name of this ministry before we had an old fire station. Isn't that crazy? Like, the Lord gave us this name. We were like, well, we're starting a nonprofit organization. What should we call it, you know? And we tried all kinds of interesting names. Like, I don't even remember. At that time, it was probably like the Spiritual Warfare and Intercession Travail Center. But thankfully, the Lord didn't let us call it that or the shofar blowing rapidly mobilizing intercessors for Israel. But the Lord gave us this name, the Firehouse Projects, and so then about a month or two after we got the name, then we saw this building and we made plans to move in here and stuff. So we ended up here, and through a series of miracles and over like $100,000 being given to us for the equipment that we have downstairs and all that stuff, we're here. So we've been sustained by miracles and just crazy stuff. So who knows? I don't know what, you know, like last year I was given I've been given cars multiple times and, you know, all kinds of things. So $5,000 is nothing for the Lord. So I just figure if we end up having to move out of here, then there's something more amazing that God wants to do, you know? And that's really like how it is. I mean, I didn't start this, so I'm not going to keep it going. I think it's like Galatians 3, having started in the spirit, are you going to try to finish it in the flesh? It's like there's a lot of cool things, and like you know, even in ministry, it's like God does something, and then you feel like, you know, a lot of times we can feel like, oh wow, I need to figure out the plan and the strategy to make everything work out, you know. And I just thank all of you guys for like the amazing times. You guys have been faithful, you know, and just like volunteering and like doing so many just amazing things. Literally, I honor my mom over here, Fran. Just extend your hand over to Fran. Just bless her. We're so grateful for all that you've done here. And I mean, this isn't a goodbye speech or anything, but I'm just saying, like, I don't know. I just want to thank everybody. You know what I mean? And it's been an amazing trip. And even if we don't have this building, it's like, I mean, you are the firehouse. You know, you are the church. It's just like so many times. I mean, churches have become reliant upon buildings. You know, so I really don't care. I want you to know, like, I care about whatever God wants to move forward, but I also like couldn't give a rip what it looks like as far as the build. I don't have an agenda, you know, and maybe that's like, maybe I don't even know what's going on. Let's be honest, I have no clue exactly what's going on. Like, that's usually how my life is. I mean, I know about love and joy and peace. And that's, you know, that's good stuff. But as far as like details, like, I don't know. Like, I move like every year. I don't know what house I'm going to live in. Natural stability isn't really like my forte. So anyway, I don't know. But if you want to sow into the ministry, whether that means we're staying here or just continuing to progress with whatever God has, we'll just pass the basket around there. You can make checks out to the Firehouse Projects, or there's cards you can give by credit or debit card or by cash or whatever. So I'll just pass it around. And if you just want to put your hand in there, if you want to take something, I don't care. Or it's whatever. Just bless the offering, you know. Thank you, Lord. God doesn't need our money. I don't know if you knew that, too. Woo! Just remove any poverty mindset that you might have had right now. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? If there's any worry that you have about any ministry, even if it's this place or your own life, just right now, God doesn't need your money. He didn't require your efforts to get this thing started, to get your life started, to get creation. Were you there in the beginning forming everything? Well, in a sense you were, but you weren't really conscious and it wasn't your efforts. So thank you, Jesus. Amen. Ah, so thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Woo, 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 woo. All right. You still feel some freedom? You feel freedom just to be yourself? Good, 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 good. Well, I'm going to share some things and just words God's put in my heart for tonight. But I just want you to just maintain a vibrant, like, attentiveness to the glory. Shalabachada, that's a phrase that the Lord's given me recently. A vibrant attentiveness to the glory. It's like there's still an amazing glory on gathering together, right? I don't know if you guys know that. I mean, in all this effortlessness, a lot of times, like, people are like, wow, like, now there's almost no motivation for anything. And there's no motivation to add or take away from what God has done. But like there is an amazing thing about abiding in the presence, right? Even right now, like just in this atmosphere, we're not coming to hear like some message, but you're just coming to be in the glory, right? Where there can be something that just cracks open at any moment in your awareness. Like maybe you came into this place like not feeling like heaven on earth. But in a moment of time, a vibrant attentiveness or awakening to what is real, it's like things start to pop, you know? And that's where, like, creative miracles come. That's where, like, woo! All of a sudden, like, years of depression just changes, you know? Or you know, that poverty mindset or something just cracks open on your bank account. Or, I don't know, like, I mean, I had, like, supernatural oil. I still kind of have some stuff, like, my hands are just kind of really super greasy. It's not even hot up here, so I know it's not like, you know what I mean? Just stuff like that starts to happen. You know what I mean? And woo! So I don't know about you, but like I was really like birthed into this this new covenant, this kingdom with glory. With like power and glory, like with signs and wonders, where that's like a normal thing to just, you never know literally what can happen. Like jewels can just pop out of the floor or something. You know? And we've seen it. Haven't you guys seen that kind of thing? I've been to a lot of meetings where that's happened. We were in Brazil, and like jewels started showing up in the thing. I was in California. I saw jewels, onyx stones, like show up. And what is that? Is that the focus? No, but it's just like tokens to show you. You are like not living in some like quote unquote just natural realm, you know? Like, like it brings, they're like tools of awakening. And so anyway, right now, tonight, why don't you just stand up again with me? Can you just stand? I like to stay like attentive. Why don't you just put your hands in the air with me and just say, Father, we've come for glory tonight. Woo, woo! Just say in your own words, in your own heart, in your own language. Just say, Father, we have come for glory. Not for a good meeting, not just another, not to check off that we are on our list that we made it to a church gathering. But to literally live in heaven on earth. Whoa, 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 whoa. And I just release activation over every one of you, every person in this place. Just whoa, whoa, whoa. Just the eyes of your heart enlightened right now. The eyes of our hearts enlightened to see what is here, to see all that's available, that we would never be bored again. If you pray in the spirit, you pray in tongues, why don't you just do that with me for a second? It's just letting your motor run. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just not analyze anything. Let's look. You are in heaven right now. It's easy. We're not trying to work anything up here. Just being who you are with the God who is infinitely pleased with you, has given you all things. You know, the Bible says that God has given you all things. All things right now. All right, cool. You can be seated or do whatever you want. That's good. So good. So good. So good. So just be looking, man. The gospel always comes with accompanying miracles. I don't know if you knew that. Now, we're not searching after miracles, but I've noticed like a lot of the finished works guys are like, they almost like start to hate miracles or something after, because they've been in part of camps that were like too, you know, focused on it or something. I don't know. It's like the pendulum always wants to swing one way or the other, but the gospel is always with miracles. That's why like they believe Jesus' message, right? They're like, oh, here comes a guy, but actually he's got authority. Like there's something different, you know. It's not just new language. It's not just cool ideas, right? That's why it's cool to have the message, and we're going to preach the message tonight. It's amazing to have the message, right? But if the message doesn't come with demonstration, manifestation, transformation, levitations, or whatever, then it's just words, you know. So, amen. So, whoa. Yeah, so, yeah. That's why I like a wild atmosphere. Not that you're trying to force anything or trying to be wild, but it's normal. Heaven, I've just seen heaven, you know. It's normal for things to be happening, you know. You remember Revelation 4? Things are happening in this atmosphere. Things. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Cool. Okay. Well, I want to talk from, I think it's 1 Corinthians 6 for a minute. I'm just going to use this. I just felt this chapter keep coming up, and my message will be called tonight, Cleaner Than a Baby's Behind. So if you want a title, yeah, cleaner than a baby's behind. And I don't even know what that phrase means. You know, it's one of those idioms that's like, it's like I could care less or something, but it's like, it doesn't even make sense. I could care less. I mean, I couldn't care less. don't know. Okay, but so it says here in 1 Corinthians 6, right? You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Let me just say that again. You were washed, right? You were sanctified. You were justified. I love all the past tense phrases in the Bible, you know? I love all the good translations that, like, say things that are now or already have happened instead of putting it all far off in the future. It's funny, different translations will literally change parts of the Bible. I was hearing a guy talk the other day that said there's like three or four translations that took the dead raising parts out of the Bible because they were offensive. It was like heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and then they erased the part about raise the dead. It's like weird, dude. So anyway, but you know, all that stuff you can just connect by the Spirit. But says you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified. And I know most of you guys, this isn't like a new crowd here tonight, right? But man, the old gospel never gets old to me. The good old gospel of absolute, and part of that, one of the main parts of that is being absolutely pure, cleaner than a baby's behind. You know what I'm saying? Way cleaner than most than my kids' babies behind, but so clean and pure, right? Like, and I just want to talk about purity again. I just feel the fire of God's purity, like, over and over, and I'm just, like, really excited that it's such a such a dynamic part of this life is and all the things we're talking about here are, like, you have to experience it, right? Like, I just thank you, Lord, right now for such experience coming out of our bellies, such experience of purity, Lord. Lord, even as we talk about it, God, that we would feel the fire of God's purity, of your purity, Lord, rising, burning within us. But such an amazing part of this gospel is sinless perfection. You guys ever heard of the phrase, sinless perfection? There's a small part of the Christian church that has believed in sinless perfection over the last, like, thousands of years. And usually those guys are known as, like, holiness, the holiness camps or whatever. But even that small group of sinless perfection believers have usually believed it by efforts. Like I was just talking with Uncle Bert the other day about John Wesley. John Wesley, founder of the Methodist Church, or just an amazing guy, like, in the 1700s, preacher. He believed that you could be completely perfect in this life, live in absolute perfection. But if you study John Wesley, it was a lot of, like, efforts, a lot of prayer meetings he had to go to, like, a lot of striving. In fact, John Wesley wouldn't serve you communion if you had sinned in the last year. He wouldn't serve you communion if you had dreamed about sinning in the last year. Like, isn't that wild? And here's one of the fathers of faith. Like, so today, like, we like, think of that, and we're like, that's kind of disgusting, actually. Like, well, how unhealthy would it be if, like, we were like, oh, have some communion. Oh, nope, you sinned, dude. No, you dreamt about sinning once this year, so sorry. Like, you can't partake of the Lord's table with us, which is like, there, dude, I'm telling you, there is such a reformation and restoration right now of a pure gospel that even makes some of the church fathers, like, look like kind of, I mean, it's kind of challenging. You know what I mean? It's kind of challenging. And so, like, all the more reason, like, to get the revelation for yourself, like to be listening in the Spirit, because there's something different. You can't just take, like, some church father's word for it anymore, right? We honor the fathers. We want to listen to them, but dude, like this whole issue of sinless perfection was rare for the church at large, and even the guys that got a hold of it have usually prescribed to it by works. So, but why does that matter? Okay, let me just back up and I want to share the simple gospel again. Mark 1:15, Matthew 4:17 is what Jesus said everywhere he went. That never gets old. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. This little message, when it comes with revelation, cracks open everything in life. Everything, dude, is related to this message, which is way too good to be true, even for, like, most, like, the radical spiritual people of the world. It's like usually like, oh, you mean everything now? Like everything that I thought was reserved for some heavenly state of bliss is now here. Woo, 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 woo. So, but what is, let me, I just want to unpack one like little part of that gospel then tonight, right? I mean, if that's like a, something that you're just chewing on right now, like just, I mean, you're going to chew on it for all eternity. But just stay like aware of what the simple gospel is, and don't be like Colossians says, you know, deceived back into empty philosophies or vain teachings of man. You know, every bad theology comes from an experience someone had, and then they tried to like filter everything through that, or a non-experience. But there is a word. That's why a word had to come from heaven, right? Something to clear up all of our, what we thought were real, clear up all our illusions. That's who Jesus Christ is. He comes to clear up every illusion and declare to us a message by his life, death, and resurrection that it's so much better than we thought. It's so much better than we thought. Yeah. So he comes and he says, all of heaven is here now. Is here, available now. Not even just available. You are. You've been grafted and you've been united, eternally, inseparably united to the fullness of heaven manifesting right now. Woo, 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 woo. But one aspect of this, and let me just put it this way. What is the point of, what is the point of the gospel? What is the point of the kingdom of God? Because right now, there's a lot of our friends even that have gotten in some confused state. Confusing the message of Christ's encouragement to you that you are pure, like to empower them to live in the old man instead of the new, right? It's like, here's the mess. The world is picking up on this message right now because it's going out in the spirit, but there's a little twist in the world. And the twist is when Jesus comes to encourage you, he says, you're perfect just the way you are, right? And that's true. That's absolutely true. He comes and he speaks that. But you can, there's a subtlety that can misinterpret that to say, your life is perfectly healthy living it the way you always used to live it. And that's a difference, right? You're perfect just the way you are because Jesus comes as a mirror to reveal the true you. But the average person has believed about themselves, not that mirror. You know what I'm saying? They've been looking in another mirror. Usually that mirror is somebody else or some... It's usually comparison, which Romans 1 says, we exchange the glory of the immortal God for images to look like animals or whatever, or people or lower things, idols they call it. An idol is any lesser image of God that we're worshiping, which worshiping is living your life for, right? Or you could say it in another way, looking in a mirror at something other than Jesus, right? So Jesus comes and says, you're absolutely perfect. Check this out. And he shows you who you really are. But if you take that message to be, I'm absolutely perfect in this dirty state, and it empowers you to stay in like an impure lifestyle, it doesn't benefit you. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, oh, wow, like this is awesome. I'm perfect. That means if you take that and you just say, I'm perfect, but I'm not looking in the mirror at the real perfect me, you just continue to hurt people, and that's not heaven. So it's like, what's the point of the gospel? When Jesus came to say there's a kingdom of heaven here, he's like, I have good news, guys. Like, there's a whole new world starting. And this is what I've been preaching like a lot recently, is like about the difference between old world, new world. Because that's really the big issue. The church is still trying to like clean up the old world. No hope, right? No hope. Most people are still trying to better their old man. But the old man had to be completely removed, destroyed. In fact, it was never real to begin with. We created it. That's why we talk about an old covenant, but God never wanted an old covenant. Like, we demanded these things of God. It's like we demanded a divorce. We said we want a king like the kings of the world. We said all of these different things. Like, we demanded this other realm. And the issue is when we come to preach this gospel, and this is why some people are having a problem with the finished work message right now. Like, they're like, wow, I love this message. I dare to believe it. But then I see a lot of these guys that are teaching it, and they just are jerks. let me be honest with you. They're like, they're living all these lifestyles. And listen, your lifestyle, it speaks way louder than your words. They're living lifestyles of hurting people and then telling you that everybody's perfect. Sounds great, but like, if everybody's perfect produces the fruit in your life, I don't want that. I'll go back to striving because at least I saw a measure of success. And at least maybe I knew some kind person that was striving, you know, or whatever. So, like, this isn't like a message to say, get your act together, finished works, guys. But what I'm saying is I believe that there is something here in this gospel that's way even more profound than what we thought. Like, so powerful. Like, there's a moment of awakening and revelation where you can realize that I was sanctified. I was washed. Dude, or like when Jesus talks about the pruning in the book of John, a lot of people think that's a process. But the very next verse says, you're already pruned. Or you're already clean. You're already washed. You begin to see yourself as cleaner than a baby's butt. Like, as a baby, the Lord always speaks to me about children. Like, this is weird. I mean, this kingdom is so childlike, you know. This isn't like finding all these jaded adults that have been through all this pain and trying to disciple them back into it. No, it's a complete restart as children. It's a complete, whoa, like, we just come into every day, like, not with your heart so clean and clear that you're not having to process through all of these messed up things in your past. Like, your past now becomes the past of Christ. You know what I mean? You only see Jesus's past, which was always in perfect purity in the heart of God, in the heart of the Father. And so I just love the picture of children entering the kingdom like little children, you know? And that's the real you. That's the real you. And so, whoa. So I want to encourage us. We're not justifying the old you to continue as the old you. We're saying that everything was removed and you have been made into a new creation. So we're getting to know the new us, or the us that always was, the us that's not an illusion, the us that is Christ. Yeah. And it's so good. I mean, receive it right now, you know. Whoa. Just see yourself as the baby that you are, you know? The clean little baby, like the clean, precious innocence of that's washing over your eyes that would never want to hurt anybody, you know? That would never, because that's the kingdom of heaven. It's like, if the kingdom of heaven is just bringing us a grace message that empowers people to feel okay when they sin, that's hell. That's actually hell. To feel better about yourself when you do something wrong, that means we're going to continue to beat each other up forever. That sucks, dude. No glory. The greatest thing about the kingdom of heaven to me is that we're always going to love each other perfectly. That's way better than like the gold and the jewels. I mean, I love that stuff. That's to awaken you to realize that you get to love perfectly. So it's like, what is the whole point? Like, if you're using grace to try to say that everybody's like going to be okay forever just hurting one another, there is a part of that, and I've preached that. It's everything is permissible, right? And that's actually the context of the verse I read. I'll read the rest of the chapter. But grace does give you a license to sin, and I've preached that. Because your Father loves you so much. You know what I mean? Like, he's not going to count you out. God's not going to eject you for the problems and the mistakes in your life, from anything. You're not excluded no matter what, right? And that has so much power to it. There is so much endless revelation on that. But that also isn't the full picture. The full picture is absolute forgiveness, but then absolute deliverance. Woo! Yeah. So it's like grace gives you a license to sin, but when you see the fullness of grace, you'll never use the license. That's what's so cool. It's like, I love my kids. Like, I'm going to love my son if he jumps off a cliff tomorrow, you know? But when he actually sees the full picture of his life, he's not going to want to go jump off a cliff, you know? But it's not going to make me stop loving him, no matter what he does. So this is what we're talking about. This gospel, this true grace, brings sinless perfection as an effortless gift. And so it is important for you to see that you do have a license to sin, because that's what unlocks your heart, to know, oh my God, I'm never going to be rejected. I'm never, ever, ever going to be rejected. I'm never. Nothing can separate you. It's so funny how many churches have quoted, nothing can separate us from the love of God. But then at the end of the day, there's those little exclusions they put in there. Nothing can separate us from the love of God unless you don't believe and you die and go to hell forever. Like, there's all these little catches. It's like nothing. It says nothing can separate you. And then it goes on to name like about 50 things after that, you know. you're like, okay, Paul, we get the point. Like, it's like heights and depths and famines and nakedness and swords and angels and demons and the age to come, the present age. Nothing, 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 nothing. And it's like, I believe that's actually the central verse of the entire book of Romans. Like, that's like the hinge pin of the entire book, is that nothing can separate you, dude. And that's why it's in Romans 8. It's like everything leads up to that. And after Romans 8, it's like everything's just going down from that. It's like this is the pinnacle of that book. It's so much glory, dude. And so you're like, wow, nothing can separate me. But then that love, see, and that's the issue. You know, we've been talking with a lot of people. They still don't understand, like, wow, if you're preaching grace, then all of your guys better act better than the other people. Well, I feel like sometimes there's a delay time because you're just realizing the love. You're just realizing the love, and all your fear-based motivation has been removed. So you're no longer going to look as good on the outside at first. You know what I mean? Because most of you, if you lived a quote-unquote holy life in a religious world, you were doing it out of fear. You were doing it out of fear of what others would say, or even like a performance for whoever it was. Even if it's not God, maybe your parents, or maybe yourself, or maybe your friends, or whoever. You're living out of this fear-based thing of what will the consequences be if I don't behave correctly. So grace removes those consequences. Now you're like, oh my God, now. But here's the thing, when you really see grace, there's another motivator that comes into play, which never could come into play in the religious world, which is so crazy, and it's called love. You're doing things for other people, blessing other people, living in purity, living in absolute childlike bliss with no fear-based motivation. You're doing it all because you love, because you simply now want the best for everyone. And that's the definition of love, like literally, is wanting the best for that. Whoever, you, everyone, the whole, simply and genuinely, like, and that's so crazy because it fear-based motivation is pretty much 99% of why almost everybody makes their decisions on a daily basis, which is so crazy, like, to think about. At least that's where it is right now in the conscious state of humanity. There's very few choices that are being made on pure love, we've talked about that before, but anyway. But this message, this gospel, reveals a fear, you know, perfect love casting out all fear. And now here we are in this realm where, wow, I want to live holy because I want to live holy. Like, I like it. And I like what it does for you. I like what it does for me. I like what it does, and it's pure grace. And I discovered that I fell in love because I knew I could never be rejected. So I fell in love because I knew everything was permissible. But now that I've fallen in love, I don't want to use that card. So here's the context of that. This is the very thing what I read, okay? It says, do you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Well, that sounds like an exclusionary statement, right? But it's just like in John 3 where it says, unless you're like unless you come like a little child, you won't see the kingdom. So it doesn't say you're not excluded, but this is what impurity does. It clouds your ability to see, clouds your revelation. And so you're like, wow, everything is permissible. So you start engaging in these activities and you're never excluded because your Father still loves you, but you begin to not even be able to see the kingdom. And now you're living in heaven, but you feel like hell. And that's where most people are. So when you tell them heaven is here, they're like, yeah, right, bro. Like, and they're not excluded. God hasn't withheld anything, but their eyes have become so clouded from all of these activities. So he says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. And then it names off some things, right? And I preached on a little similar a couple weeks ago on a Tuesday where, you know, the scripture's not afraid to name off some things that are going to hurt you. Like, some of us were like, wow, we're only grace, so, like, let's not even tell anybody that, like, cutting off their hands is going to hurt, you know? Because that's not grace. No. Like, I mean, I understand, dude, but I'm like, we want to move forward with an army of, like, holy lovers, you know what I mean? Like to move forward, not just, it's one thing to preach a message and travel itinerantly, but it's another thing to actually have, like a unit, like, raise up, like a freaking army of grace lovers raise up. And you're going to have to talk about some things, right? So it says, do not be deceived. The sexually immoral, the idolaters, adulterers, the men who practice homosexuality, thieves, the greedy, drunkards, revilers, and swindlers will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now that names off some things we're like, a couple of those I'm really not sure about. Listen, you take some of it to the Lord, but I'm telling you, like, it names off some things that literally begin to just mess with your vision, right? They mess with your ability to see the kingdom. And next thing you know, you're hurting yourself and people around you. And you're like, I think I heard the gospel at one time. I know I'm living in heaven, but my life kind of feels like crap. And I believe the gospel, though, so I'm just going to keep saying it. And that's where that disconnect is. Like, people are like, I don't know if after a while they're not interested in your message because you're not interested in your message. Because you had this mixture of using your permissibility to cloud your heavenly experience. And dude, I'm telling you tonight, like, and a lot of you know this. Every one of you has tasted it. And some of you are living in a massive amount of it. But dude, there is a freaking amazing pure ocean of bliss in purity. That the gospel can really not just forgive. That's amazing. Never lose sight of that. But also deliver completely. Like, whoa. I know it. And it's always in this simple revelation that Jesus is and spoke about, that the kingdom of heaven is all here. So if you had a moment, like here's tonight, it's like, you can be like, man, I was engaging in some of those activities, you know? And you're like, oh, I feel bad. No. Just realize right now, everything falls off and you start anew. There's no process to begin to, like, all of a sudden, like, you know, discipline yourself to be into whatever. I mean, you follow Holy Spirit, but it's simple that this gospel can set you free from it all in an instant. In an instant of time, dude. And if it doesn't work for you right away, don't be discouraged. Like, there is no other answer. There's no other answer. Like, you can turn to other answers, and maybe you'll have to try some other answers for a while before you're convinced. But I've tried. I've tried religion. I've tried cleaning myself up. But I've tried, you know, and a lot of you have, dude. A lot of you have tried the discipline. But I'm telling you, this gospel comes as an effortlessness, revealing, because here's what it says in the next verse, that you, it says, none of these things will inherit the kingdom of God, and such were some of you, or actually should be the some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And then the very next verse says, quote unquote, all things are lawful for me. So Paul's like, and some of you are saying, yeah, but all things are lawful for me. And then he says, and then Paul responds, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, in quotes, but I will not be enslaved by anything. It says, food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? And he just goes on. Like, you know, Paul was dealing with the same thing, right? And I think it was Martin Lloyd-Jones or somebody, some preacher from the UK said, anytime you're preaching grace, you're going to have the same dilemma as Paul. People are going to take it and use it to justify and continue in sin. He's like, that's a good problem to have. That means you're preaching it right. Like, but it just happens. At first, your minds kind of tweak out. And some people get tweaked out for a while and whatever. You know, but he's saying, dude, this is going to fry your brain. But whoa. Though you're given such an unlimited realm of forgiveness, dude, there is so much glory in purity. It's the whole point. Like the whoa. The forgiveness is meant to unlock your heart to cause the deliverance. You know what I'm saying? Wow. And so it's okay even to tweak out for a while, right? Like it is. We're all on our journey. Like sometimes you just are, whatever, that's where you're at. But there's a moment of time you're never bound to be there. You're never bound. And I just feel Holy Spirit wants to press it. Just press this home for us right now. He's like, that whole thing of all things. Wow. Getting jacked up. Okay. Now, I think you get what I'm saying. You see what I'm saying? You see the purity? Do you see the absolute bliss that you've been given? But yeah. So some of us have been like still experimenting with like misunderstandings of heavenly life. We use the term party a lot, you know, and that's so good. But most of us have only known the world's party, you know, the world's party. So I'm telling you, like, stuff like this is like a heavenly party. Like, literally, it might, you're like, wow, they're just sitting around or something, you know. But like, dude, the glory that's happening in here, you have to be able to see in the spirit, is like way more exhilarating than, you know. And so we are like, as we realize this message of heaven, there are like, there's a culture shift and there's things that awaken, you know. Some of us are like, man, even in areas of sexuality or drugs, I mean, like half of our friends are like now drinking alcohol, but I'm just saying like that, like I said before, a lot of glory on moderation, you know, a lot of glory on, we're so set free into these new realms. But in this party, it's a heavenly party that we're engaging in, right? It does allow you, like it said in that passage, that food is for the stomach and stomach is for food. You can enjoy earthly pleasures like food and like stuff. But dude, the whole basic layout of what you have known heavenly life to be is still true. Like, we're not like redefining stuff, you know, in that sense. We're not redefining like, oh, now we can have sex with many anonymous partners, as Austin Powers would say, or whatever. We're not just destroy your body with drugs or, yeah. I mean, I've been astounded by the number of people that are still just like toying with drugs. I'm like, my God, like the heavenly pleasures are so crazy. Like to me, like it's so crazy to me. Like it doesn't make any sense, man. You are a baby, dude. You are a freaking like innocent baby. Like there's such a highway, you know? And, I mean, Whoa. Looking to any of these lesser pleasures, right? They do have a temporary thing, but heavenly pleasures or eternal pleasures are just that. They're eternal. Like, it's not something, like, I am the wine. That's why even, like, lately I've been saying, I don't even, like, drink the glory because I am the glory. You know what I mean? Like, the earthly pleasures are the ones that it's like you have to continue to partake of this stuff in order to, like, achieve that state, which is actually witchcraft, right? Like, we're talking about drugs and stuff, and I feel to talk about it because it's not like, there's only like one person. A number of our friends in this thing have been influenced by it, right? And I'm not ashamed, like, to, like, I just want to, like power kick some stuff out, you know what I mean? Like, like it's not heavenly, dude. Because here's the thing where it said, with the food, I will not be mastered by anything. The cool thing about being drunk in the glory, except for an occasional time, is you're actually, like, that's still in control. That's what the weird thing is. Like, self-control still plays in even though you're hammered. Like, that's why, like, I can still, you know, you could be a brain surgeon and be hammered drunk. And people are like, well, I don't understand how that works. Because your concept of drunkenness is still too related to just worldly drunkenness, you know, or whatever. But there are states, dude, where you are so hammered, but you're not, you don't have to, like shake or manifest or be out of control. There's still this weird thing. So it's like, why? What's the issue with drugs? Like, even, like, I mean, this is going to become more and more of an issue. I mean, it's legal in Colorado now to smoke weed, right? I'll just go for it. It's becoming legal. It's going to be illegal probably in all of America soon, whatever. So what are you going to do when, like, you know, it just keeps pressing the thing, you know? And next thing, like, every drug is legal. So you don't have that one to, like, exclude you. Listen, the reason what's the issue with drugs is because when something takes control of you, it's just like religion. It's just like that pastor that you had that wanted to manipulate you, or that spiritual leader, something is manipulating you, right? Having a couple drinks of alcohol isn't manipulating you. When it gets to the point where it's manipulating you, that's when you know it's not healthy, right? It's the same with all this stuff. I'm just going into it because, I mean, dude, there is a world of purity. Like, there's a world of ecstasy and delight, dude. There's like a freaking, like, amazing, life to that's totally different, man. It's totally different. We're partying, bro, but like, I want to set you free to experience a party that makes every earthly thing look like freaking like boring, you know? Like, I know friends that were like drunk in the glory and now they're bored with their life. I'm like, there's a disconnect. That doesn't happen. That's not normal, right? Like, they were like high, but they only stay high for a minute. Listen, purity is how you stay high forever. For real. But, and you don't earn it, and no one in here is like experiencing more of it by earning. It's when you realize who you are, that you were washed, that you were sanctified, that you're different. You know what I mean? That you, when you see Jesus in the mirror, you know, and you're like, whoa. So, like, I'm just, like, I'm excited for such a new, like, revolution, culture of heavenly beings to come forth, right? And, but I just want to just encourage you, like, don't be sideswiped by some of these subtle little things, you know? Like, these subtle little whatever, you know? They're not a big deal. You can be free of them in an instant. But, like, this, whoa. This message has so much power when our lives begin to speak it. Because I don't give a rip how many Facebook posts you have, right? I don't give a rip how many messages you can give or sermons or podcasts. A healthy person like Brother Lawrence, people would drive from thousands or hundreds of miles just to watch you because you're healthy. They're like, oh my God, it's so attractive. A pure person living in heavy, weighty glory, like with such purity, is so like powerful without a word. Without, whoa, like, and so we're preaching. There's going to be parties, dude, but like, I've just seen a lot, just so many people sideswipe by stuff, even, you know, sexual stuff, right? Just like, just choose right now, because you do have self-control, to be 100% pure sexually. Like, it's not, you don't even have to be delivered of it. It's already, you're already clean. You don't need a process. Like, if you've been wondering about your sexuality, I just tell you, just, you have all ability. It says some can be eunuchs for the kingdom of God. Well, I have my needs. You have your needs, dude. That's because 90% of this culture is addicted to sex or porn or whatever. So you think you have all these needs. Dude, there's such a freaking amazing purity. Like, that's what we're saying. So, I don't know. I hope it's not, like, too heavy-handed, but tonight, like, that's not my intent. That's not my intent. But I just know, like, I've seen this message could have taken over the world, like, thousands of years ago. You know, in a sense. But it's just waiting for a few people to actually live it. And that's it. That might seem like it's putting the pressure on you. It's not. Like, because there's no hurry. From eternity's perspective, like, a billion years from now, we'll be like, hey, you remember those, like, few thousand years where, like, the world was messed up? No. You know what I mean? Remember those few thousand years where, like, there was problems in the world? Oh, you mean, I'm not really sure. So it's not like, you know, a blip on the radar, or it's not like a big deal, but I'm saying, dude, as soon as some people start to demonstrate this, right? I know friends that are going back to striving because they're like, well, I tried that gospel, but there's so many, like so much weird mixture in there, you know? And I'm saying, dude, I'm just putting a call out tonight, dude. You know what I mean? I've been putting a call out recently. Like, dude, there is absolute freedom. It's so much more, like, fun, like, to just live without. The whole issue was clear conscience, you know? And you can clear your conscience by, like, just meditating on forgiveness enough, but not really. Like, it's going to continue to cloud you. Like, you'll be tormented. You might feel free if you meditate on how perfect you are for a minute, but then you go back and you engage in more sexual morality or drunkenness or whatever it was, and your conscience will be affected. Your vision will be affected. And you're like, man, my parties just aren't as fun anymore, you know? And so I'm just like, dude, let's not toy with it. You know what I mean? Like, you are free. You're so free. And I'm just going to keep trumpeting it. I don't feel condemnation. I hope you don't. Does anybody feel condemnation? There's like no condemnation, dude. There's no shame. It's like, we all love cleanness, you know? We love, like, can you feel your flame is like a blue flame, like a white hot flame, you know? It's like you are light. Like, you're not like just partially light. You shine brighter than 10,000 suns, you know? Like, but that impurity causes that light to be all like kind of weird and like, and it's just not right, dude. That's probably the only strange fire. This drunkenness isn't strange fire, dude. It's like, it's when drunkenness and the gospel come with like weird stuff in there. Like, oh man, I just love, like, I remember I talked to Ben Dunn a few years ago, you know, and he was like, he was like, dude, I just want this to just be like babies all the time, like colors. He's like, what I'm talking about isn't just like, oh, I'm drunk. He's like, I'm talking about like kids, you know, like when, like you have a meeting and you wouldn't feel afraid if like someone that's been abused their whole life walked in, you know, like they wouldn't feel like they'd be totally safe. You know what I mean? Because the people in there are safe. They're not going to come in and like somebody's going to take them aside and abuse them more. You know? Or like somebody comes off and they're struggling with all these things and they come into a place and it's just like they're embraced by little kids, you know? It's like they walked in and it was like everybody was just like, wow. And it was total purity, you know what I mean? Like your house can be that, you know what I mean? Your life is that. Your business can be like that. Like what I see when I see this pure kingdom of heaven, I see like just like really vibrant like colors everywhere, you know? Like just pure color, like pure light, like no, like the purest drink, the purest water, you know? Like what I wanna see is just place where like people are just like finger painting, you know? They're just like painting, they're like finger painting, they're like singing songs to each other, just like they're singing little childlike songs and they're like, wow, like I love you, you know. There's no jadedness in there, there's no worries, and nobody's gonna like abuse anybody, you know. This is what I see when I think of the kingdom of heaven. You know, and I love to like hang out in like the craziest places where it might seem the darkest, but like my house isn't like that. You know what I mean? Like my life isn't like that. Like, I mean, it's not like I'm different than them in some like sense I'm better. It's just I'm just seeing who I am, you know? I'm just manifesting the new world. I love like interacting with the old world, you know, but there are those passages that say do not love the world, you know? And that's the difference. Like Jesus died for the whole world, right? It says, for God so loved the world. Then other passages say, if you don't hate the world, then the love of God isn't in you. So is that weird? That's the contradiction that some see. It's like, oh, I'm supposed to love the world. So I'm supposed to just go engage in all the activities. No, like it's a new world that still loves like all of like the original like design of the people. You know what I mean? Like the things that are. Not the things that are not. So I was talking to Sam like earlier, like our friend Dr. K is like talking about how, you know, like demons and sickness are less than nothings, you know. They're not just don't exist, they actually are less than existing, you know. Or like the Lord showed me, it's like negative numbers, you know. You can interact with negative numbers, but like just your life isn't a negative number. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Yeah, I just want to describe still more. Like, as you see this new world, your life pretty much becomes like a game almost. Like, it's so fun and worry-free. Like, you're literally just playing with reality, you know? Like I was saying, like the billion-year blip on the radar, you know what I mean? You're not going to be so... Like, your life becomes so light and carefree. Like, maybe that's why people are addicted to video games sometimes, you know? Because your life was meant to be as fun and as crazy as a video game. You know what I mean? Like, way crazier. Way crazier. But most people's lives aren't. So they're like, well, let's just escape into this thing that's fun and, like, lighthearted. Listen, your life is fun and lighthearted. Like, as you really tap in, you're like, you have a million lives. Even if you, like, die in the video game, you just resurrect. You know? But the reason all this seriousness and this heaviness and depression takes over is for those impurities, the little foxes or whatever, you know? Those little things. And then your life becomes very serious. But a pure life is like a game. Like, it's like, whoa. Like, all this stuff seems so serious, but it's not. Oh my God. Yeah, just get it, just see it, just see. Woo! Yeah, just see the Lord like just healing arms and stuff. If you have elbow problems, anybody, if you have a problem with your arm, just move them. Just move them about. Move them all about you, Lord. Move them all about you. Yeah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I'm too drunk. I'm kind of forgetting what I was saying. Oh. But yeah, I don't know what's going on. But this is like a new year, right? And I'm not going to give any New Year prophecies because you're always in the year of Jubilee. Holy Ghost. But it's a different time right now for us. Like, there's changes, man. Like, I'm ready to move forward with that army, you know? Like, it's an army that doesn't fight at all like the world fights. It doesn't even really fight. Just kind of lay around. But it's a new culture, dude. And we have a school starting. I'm really excited about that. Like, we're raising up right now leaders for this culture, you know. And we're gonna be doing some of that. If you're interested in it, you can find it online. But I'm just saying it to say that, like, dude, I'm excited about people that are sold out for a new world, you know. I even feel right now, like, if you're, you know, some of you may have been in, like, a little bit of lethargy or something, or like, man, I don't know if it's going to get much better, dude. This manifestation or this greater thing is going to get so much more jacked up, dude. Like, so much more, like, and your life matters, you know what I mean? Like it's not going to be me up here that as much. Like, I my heart is always to really get out of, like, the front. I want to, like, see 1,000 preachers of Christ, you know? 10,000 preachers of Christ, like we're whoa, and we're seeing it. So, like, I'm like, despite what anybody sees in the natural, I'm like a million times encouraged, you know, like I'm a million times encouraged. Like, that's just the reality. I'm so convinced of this new world, you know, but it's a new time. Like we're gonna whoa, yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, that's probably about all I have. Let's see, Holy Spirit. Can you just respond a little bit to with Holy Spirit in your heart? Just let him move, you know, move around in there. Just let God, like, woo, just dance around in your belly a little bit, you know. just put your hand on your neighbor or something. Put your hand, extend your hand towards somebody right now. Just release that, like, just clean as a baby's behind. Just speak over them. You are clean. You are clean. You are clean. I don't care what your behavior was like yesterday. Today, the Bible says, as long as it's called today, it's a day of salvation. It's a day where we're not saying that, oh, you messed up yesterday, so you're going to be okay when you mess up tomorrow. What we're saying is, you could mess up as many times, you'll be okay, but tomorrow could be the day where you never have any problems. Like, right now, you could never struggle with that again. You feel that? Ha. You feel the power of God? Put your hand on your belly for a minute. Put your hand on your belly. I believe that there is the power that created worlds flowing out of your belly right now. The power that created worlds to make you as clean as a baby's butt, because you already are, to manifest in your life, your expectation. I just see the Lord changing your expectations, changing those expectations that are jacked up expectations for us. You're going to begin to spend your money like you're believing that everything's perfect. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Your diet's going to change. Your physical, the way you schedule your day is going to change in greater and greater ways. It's dramatic. It's not a, wow. It's not like, oh, cool, I'm just going to live like exactly like I always used to live. No, it's ever increasingly more fun. It's always going to be more restful, dude. It's just getting easier and easier to live like a God. Easier and easier to live like a God, to live like God, to live like God. You're going to be as, I just hear the Lord saying, wisdom, 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 the wisdom of God. You know, Christ became unto us sanctification, life, and wisdom. Christ is your wisdom. That means you have all the wisdom that Jesus Christ has right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Thank you, God. Yeah. It's good, man. It's good. Dude. You feel like playing anymore, Sam? Sweet, man. Sam's just going to play a little bit, and let's just, man, just soak in that glory, dude. Just sit and let Holy Spirit, like, just love on you. If you want to respond to this message, however you want. Sometimes people like to come to the front. They feel like God, you know, touches them when they come. That's good. Do that. Do that. We love you, Lord. Ha ha. We acknowledge your life is looking through our eyes. That you are the one looking through our eyes right now, Lord. That there is no separation between heaven and earth. That there's no separation between how we walked in today and meeting you here. There's no distance between this power and this majesty. I just thank you for it coming with such a clarity this year. Man, everyone in here, it's like you might not have been struggling with some specific thing that was even named, but dude, any old mindset, man, just allow yourself to be, to float above that, you know? To see your existence higher than that. Like to see... Like, if there was a struggle that you've had that, I mean, does Jesus have that struggle?